Again, I thank all of you for being here this evening. We're so thankful for the good rain that we're getting, and I'm glad that we all could get in and out of the rain, and we thank you again for being here, and we ask you, as always, if you would, open your Bibles and follow along with me on this all-important message tonight. I don't want you to take my word, that I don't want you to ever take any man's word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. The question I want to talk about is, can eternal life be forfeited? Or the false doctrine of once saved, always saved? There is a doctrine in the world today that is known as the doctrine of impossibility of apostasy, or the unconditional security of the believer. It means that a child of God, one who has his sins washed away by the blood of Christ, cannot so sin as to finally be lost. Simply stated, it's the doctrine of once saved, always saved, or once in grace, always in grace. This conception stems from the old doctrine of predestination and foreordination, the theory that God decreed before the world began that a certain elect number should be saved and a certain fixed number could not be saved. It is the idea that a child of God can never so sin as to finally be lost. This matter of salvation has been expressed this way. If you seek it, you can't find it. And if you find it, you can't get it. If you get it, you can't lose it. And if you lose it, you never had it. This lesson has to do with the child of God. We're not discussing God, but the child of God. So can a child of God so sin as to finally be lost? Can a child of God forfeit his eternal life? We readily admit that God can do all things. We do not question his power, his mercy, his love, his goodness, or his faithfulness. God has the power to keep one saved, but does he exercise that power? Is a man a free moral agent, or is he a mere object of God's hand only to be moved by God's impulse? Is salvation conditional or unconditional? Is there anything that man himself can do so as to be lost? These are questions that challenge our thinking at this time. First, I want to talk about the origin of the unconditional security. The doctrine of once saved, always saved is not new. In fact, it originated in the Garden of Eden when the serpents came to Eve and said, "You shall not surely die," in Genesis 3 and verse 4. God had already pronounced that the curse of the death would be upon Adam the day that he would eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as seen in Genesis 2 verses 16 and 17. Now, Adam did not die physically on the day that he ate of the tree, because he lived several hundred years after that, but he died spiritually. Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words describes the word death as a separation of the soul from the body, but it is also used in the Scriptures as the separation of man from God. Before people are converted to Christ, they are said to be dead in trespasses and sins. That's Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. That is, they are separated from God. They are lost. Spiritual life is union with God. Spiritual death is separation from God. From the account in Genesis 2, we learn that when Adam and Eve sinned, they separated themselves from God. They were not born sinners, nor are we. Sin is a transgression of the law. As 1 John 3, 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." Adam and Eve became sinners when they sinned, and that's how we became sinners. It was man who separated himself from God. God had the power to prohibit man from sinning, but the fact is God did not exercise that power because man was created as a free moral agent. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So can a believer cease to believe? Can a believer cease to believe? We agree that salvation is dependent upon faith, But is it possible for a child of God to depart from the faith? Is it possible for him to cease to be a believer and thereby forfeit his eternal life? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. We're going to go to a lot of passages this evening, brethren, so be prepared. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The child of God is one who is in a covenant relationship with God by obedience to the gospel. He is a new creature, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, listen now, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, he is made a new creature because of what? Because he was baptized into Christ. Paul said in Galatians 3:27, he said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's the only way you get into Christ, is being baptized into Christ. So he is a saved believer, but what may happen to his faith? What can happen to his faith? His faith may fail, brethren. It may fail. You remember Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22:32, but I made supplication for thee that thy faith fail not. Come with me now, if you would, to 1 Timothy, and I'm going to look at a few passages in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the child of God may depart from the faith. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time, listen now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here the Holy Spirit, through Paul, predicted that men would apostatize or they would fall from the truth. Now look at chapter 1. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. The child of God may throw away his faith and his good conscience and make shipwreck of the faith. Verse 19. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Faith and good conscience were once possessed, but they were thrust away and shipwreck was made concerning the faith. If you would now turn over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, a child of God may deny the faith. Verse 8 says, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He may be cast off the faith. Verse 12 says, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Now look at verse 15. He may turn after Satan. For some have already turned aside after Satan, it says. Now if you would go to chapter 6 with me, and let's look at verse 20 and 21. He may err concerning the faith. Verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now, please go with me to 2 Timothy, and let's look at chapter 2. Paul says in verse 16 through 18, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as death a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. You notice here Paul didn't pull any punches here, did he? He named names. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. So you see, my friends, you see, his faith may be overthrown. Now the word faith in the scriptures is the word pistis in the Greek. It's the same word that is used in Romans 5 and verse 1, where Paul writes that we are justified by faith. The faith that saves then can be denied, it can be overthrown, it can be shipwrecked, and it can be cast off. And as a result, one is turned over to Satan, condemned. Now if you will, look with me at Hebrews the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Well, can a child of God become an unbeliever? The writer of the Hebrews in chapter 10 and verses 32 through 39 describes a certain class as those who had been enlightened, endured, and had a better possession. They were exhorted to remain faithful. However, there were some that, Hebrews 10 and verse 39 says, they shrank back into perdition. They shrank back into perdition. So yes, brethren and friends, it is possible that a child of God go back into perdition and thereby become an unbeliever. Now the next question I put before you is this. Is it possible for a child of God to sin? That it is possible for a child of God to sin is very evident from the Scriptures. It is argued, however, that it is impossible for a child of God to sin, and 1 John 3 and verse 9 is referred to by the denominations as an effort to prove this contention. Now, come with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Let's look at what they contend here. 1 John 3 and verse 9. It says, "Whosoever is begotten of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him, and he cannot sin." I want you to remember that word, cannot. "And he cannot sin because he is begotten of God." This, brethren and friends, is the proof text that a child of God cannot sin. So let's all turn back to 1 John chapter 1 now. 1 John 1, and let's look at verses 8 and 9. John says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all sin." In view of the fact that John tells his readers here that if they say that they have no sin, they deceive themselves, and because he tells them if they will confess their sins to God, he will forgive them of their sins. He could not be teaching here that it is impossible to sin. He cannot be teaching it is possible to sin, as 1 John 3:9 says, when it says, "Whosoever is begotten of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth him, and he cannot sin, because he is begotten of God." Now, I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 2, if you would. 1 John chapter 2, John wrote in verse 1, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, let me ask you, if it is impossible for a child of God to sin, why this assurance? Think about it. Why this assurance? How could John be saying that it is impossible to sin when he has already told his readers that if they would confess their sin, God would forgive them, and if they sin, they have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ? Now, do you remember, I told you to remember the word cannot as seen in 1 John 3:9? Well, the word cannot does not always mean impossible, as seen in the following instances. Don't you think about this? Judah said of Benjamin, "The lad cannot leave his father," in Genesis 44 and verse 22. Was it impossible for Benjamin to go down to Egypt? No, because he did go down to Egypt. Jesus said that the sons of the bride chamber cannot fast as long as they have the bridegroom with them in Mark 2:19. So I ask you, was it impossible for them to fast in the presence of the bridegroom? No, it wasn't. When certain ones were invited to the great feast, you may remember, they made excuses and one said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." That's Luke 14:20. Was it impossible for him to attend the supper? Again, absolutely not. It was not impossible. So a child of God cannot make a practice of sin and continue to be like Christ. He is to exhibit the life of Christ, but the practice of sin will prohibit him from doing it. I hope you understand what I just said. As a matter of fact, I'm going to repeat it. A child of God cannot make a practice of sin and continue to be like Christ. He is to exhibit the life of Christ, but the practice of sin will prohibit him from doing it. That makes sense, does it not? Now, if you would, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and when you get over there, let's look at verse 9. Brethren, if it is impossible for a child of God to sin, which the denominational world, about 99% of them say, why did Paul command the brethren at Colossae in verse 9 to lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings? They were children of God. They had put off the old man. They were told not to lie. If it is possible for a child of God to lie, it is possible for him to sin, is it not? Now look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Paul wrote to his brethren at Rome in verse 21, that thou preachest that man should not steal. Dost thou steal? Thou sayest that man should not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? It is possible for a child of God to steal and commit adultery, is it not? Turn to Ephesians 5. It is possible for a child of God to become drunk. Paul wrote to his brethren at Ephesus in verse 18, and be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Now if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It is possible for a child of God to lust. Peter wrote to his brethren in verse 11, Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. So the scriptures affirm that it is possible for a child of God to lie. It is possible for a child of God to steal. It is possible for a child of God to get drunk. And it is possible for a child of God to lust. It is contended by those who subscribe to the doctrine of the impossibility of apostasy, or once saved, always saved. Now listen to this. On part of the child of God that when he sins, it is only his body that sins. He sins outwardly, but not inwardly. This is what they preach and teach. The child of God, when he sins, is only in his body. His body is the one that sins. He sins outwardly, but not inwardly. So how do we answer that? But I'm not going to. I'm going to go to Mark, the 7th chapter, if you will, with me, and I'm going to let our Lord Jesus answer that question. Mark chapter 7. In verse 21, Jesus said, For from within, that's not outwardly, for from within, out of the heart of man, evil thoughts proceed, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, pride, foolishness. And then he goes on to say, all these evil things proceed from within, not outwardly, but from within, and they defile man. I believe that answers their question right there if they go on and read what our Lord says. Now, the child of God can be lost. Jesus told his disciples to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's Luke 10 and verse 20. Paul wrote to the Philippians that their names were in the book of life in Philippians 4 and verse 3. And the inspired writer referred to the church in Hebrews 12:23 as the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. And to the angel of the church of Sardis in Revelation 3:5, the Lord wrote, He that overcometh shall be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. So it is possible for a child of God to have his name blotted out of the book of life. Those whose names are those who overcome. That's the ones that are in the book of life. So my friends, salvation is conditional. It is conditional. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it is not conditional. Salvation is conditional. It is possible for a child of God to sin. It is possible for a child of God to lie, to steal, to get drunk, and to lust. Now the question is, if a child of God should die while guilty of these sins or any other sin, will he go to heaven or will he be lost? Well, let's go to Romans the 8th chapter for the answer. Romans the 8th chapter. In verse 13. Paul said, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die." So, didn't that answer the question? Will he go to heaven or will he be lost? I think it's pretty simple. It's pretty clear. Because in verse 12, the readers were addressed as brethren. They were addressed as brethren. Now, if you would, you look at Romans 1:7. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. See who this epistle was written to. It was written to the saints. To the saints. Members of the church. So it is possible for a child of God to die in his sins and die spiritually. Now, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is an interesting passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Here we see Paul even feared that he, a child of God, might lose his reward. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, "But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, that I myself should be rejected." Paul worried about his own salvation. He realized that he might be rejected and that he might lose his reward. That's why preachers have to be so careful what they preach. They have to preach exactly what the scriptures say. That's why I always ask you to open your Bibles and follow along. Don't take my word. Don't take any man's word. The child of God is one washed by the blood of Christ, but if he returns to his former condition, he will be lost unless he repents. Now let's talk about some warnings against falling. To the church of Corinth, Paul warned these brethren against falling when he gave the Israelites in the wilderness as an example. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to talk about verses 1 through 12. 1 Corinthians 10. Now the Israelites had passed through the sea. They had been delivered from bondage, a type of our bondage from sin. They fell, verse 5 says, "Howbeit with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Why did they fall? Why were they overthrown? Well, first, they lusted after evil things in verse 6. And we're not going to read all this, but in second, they were idolaters in verse 7. Third, they committed fornication in verse 8. Fourth, they made trial of the Lord in verse 9. And fifth, they murmured in verse 10. Now, some of these Israelites lost their reward, as we know. Paul states in verse 11, look with me, "These things were happening to them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition." So what is the admonition? What is it, Paul? It is that we do not fall. That's the admonition. They lost their inheritance, and we can lose ours. Look at verse 12. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Brethren and friends, a major portion of the New Testament is written to Christians, teaching them how to live. And if a child of God cannot be lost, why all this teaching? Why is it even necessary? Why the many admonitions and warnings against falling? By the way, did you know from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, there are over 2,000 warnings of apostasy in the Bible? Now, let's look at some examples of falling. Turn your Bibles now to Acts the 8th chapter, familiar passage and familiar story. Acts the 8th chapter. In Acts the 8th chapter, we have the record of Simon the sorcerer. Now, Simon heard Philip preach, and he believed and was baptized. It cannot be argued that Simon was never saved because Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So he was saved. But we read in Acts 8 verse 13, and Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip. Simon sinned. We know he sinned, and he was told by Peter to repent and to pray, Acts 8:22. This is the law of pardon of an erring child of God. Now, not only are children of God warned against falling, but God has given the terms of pardon if they do fall. They're to repent and pray. Think about it. He has given them, he knows we're going to sin. And he's given us the terms of pardon. There are other examples of falling, such as Adam. There was King Saul, there was Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts 8, chapter 8, this is the first sin recorded against any member of the church. And of course there was Judas. And time will permit me to go into any more, but that's just some we can think of off the top of our head. So how do we keep from falling? Please turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, the Apostle Peter is addressing Christians here, and he wrote in 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 4, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give them more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we keep from falling. These brethren, and they're Christians, these brethren had escaped from the corruption that is in the world, verse 4 tells us, and they had been cleansed from their old sins, according to verse 9. By the very fact that Peter admonished his brethren to make their calling and election sure, it is clear that there is a possibility that they could fail to enter the eternal kingdom. They were urged to add those things mentioned in verse 5 through 7. If they fail to do so, they are described, as verse 9 says, blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing of his old sins. My friends, and dear brethren, dear brothers and sisters, it is my hope that I have made it clear, using the scriptures of the Holy Bible, that we can conclude that it is possible for a child of God to sin, that he will be lost in sin if he does not repent. Therefore, it is possible for a child of God to so sin as to finally be lost. And eternal life can be forfeited. So it is my plea, Why not obey the gospel? By believing, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you'll be a member of the Lord's church, and you can work and worship and live as the Lord has authorized you to do. And at the end of that faithful life, heaven will be your home. And isn't that what we're all about? Isn't that what we're all striving for? I know it is, or we wouldn't be here this evening. And if you're an unfaithful child of God, take advantage of it too. The Lord has given us the pardon. What we need to do if we sin as a Christian. You can take care of that this evening by coming forward after you've repented to God. Then let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be a child of God on the road that leads to heaven once more. If we can help anyone make their life right with God, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.